Hello, respected viewers. It's George from Ireland. Please forgive the 3-day absence. Anyway, this is Murder in Samarkand. Got it online, secondhand paperback copy for only £3 by Craig Murray, His Excellency, may I call him that, the quondam British ambassador to Uzbekistan. In case you don't know, it's a Central Asian former Soviet republic bordering Iran, Turkmenistan, Kazakhstan, where else? I think it's Tajikistan. So Craig Murray is someone who fearlessly upheld British government policy on human rights. Remember, this is the day to New Labour. He was posted in Tashkent, the capital of Uzbekistan, from 2002 to 2004. And New Labour was not that long in office in those days, and they had their much touted ethical foreign policy, which was grossly unethical, hypocritical, because non-selectivity is the core of any ethical foreign policy worth the name, because a moral stance, to be moral at all, must be equally applied. It must be consistent. It can't be applied against one's opponents and not against one's allies, and so forth. So here is Craig Murray. It's highly readable. It's somewhat autobiographical, only about those 2 years, really. There is a cast of characters are very vividly brought to life on the page, and there are many scenes which are superbly evocatively limned. So he's got a wonderful way with words, and he often just hits the right note, can summon up the scene. I can see the facial expression from what he said, and I can hear the tone from the way he's described it. So quite complicated matters. It cites a number of official documents, a lot of which are redacted, supposedly for national security reasons, usually to spare the blushes of politicians and civil servants. So Uzbekistan in those days was one of the most horrendously oppressive tyrannies in the world. Of 193 United Nations member states, if North Korea is 193, Turkmenistan maybe 192, Uzbekistan was about a number 191. So almost the worst of the worst, led by Islam Karimov, Islam being his first name, who was a communist era apparatchik who'd been general secretary of the Communist Party of Uzbekistan in the last 2 years of the Soviet Union, had proclaimed the independence of his country in August 1991, just after the failed coup against Mikhail Gorbachev. And he did so really because he recognized that Russia was a dangerously liberalizing influence from his point of view, that under Gorbachev and Yeltsin, who was about to be ushered into office, Russia was going to become a genuine democracy and people would have rights. For the first time since 1917, there would be a multi-party democracy, there'd be free expression, torture would be outlawed, the death penalty would be outlawed, and he couldn't possibly have that because he'd run Uzbekistan as his personal fiefdom. It was a slave state, children as young as 8 years old, toiling, doing backbreaking work for about 4 months a year in the fields picking cotton, and teachers and undergraduates and all sorts of civil servants doing this unpaid just to enrich Karimov and a handful of his cronies, most people living in the most abject poverty. This in a country practically floating on oil and gas. So they were creaming it off, and they had to hire just enough thugs to run their system of state terrorism. So then came the war on terror after 9/11, and Uzbekistan unluckily happened to have a crucial location for an airbase to be the air bridge for NATO troops going into and out of Afghanistan. Moreover, a lot of heroin, Afghanistan's only export, was smuggled out via Uzbekistan with the explicit agreement of the Uzbek authorities, though no, they didn't actually broadcast that, because major douceurs were paid to Karimov and his camarilla, despite extremely harsh penalties for possessing even a gram of cannabis. Then because of the cruciality of its geographical location, George W. Bush, then President of the United States, was minded to turn Nelson's eye to gross human rights abuses in Uzbekistan. So Craig Murray was sent out there with a brief to speak up for human rights, and he did. And he got in trouble for upholding British government policy. But there was a tendency to trim in the years of the Blair administration. Could we tone this down? Could we soft pedal this? Could we applaud them for the reforms made? And he said the reforms made are cosmetic, if that. They are straight out lying about economic liberalization, because almost everything was state-owned. owned, that meant it was owned by Karimov. Was it a communist country? Well, maybe not, because one family owned almost everything. And then they would even close down little stores. Some guy got a hot dog stall, some woman selling fruit or something, criminalized, because that would take away a tiny bit of the profit from Karimov and his coterie. So it was horrendous. And various Labour government ministers leaning on Craig Murray to be quiet about it. Various other people in the Foreign and Commonwealth Office saying, will you please not say this? And his embassy is horrendously understaffed. Now, Craig Murray was married, had two children, and he is candid about his very messy private life, that his sexual morality might be thought to leave something to be desired. He liked to frequent bars of dubious reputation and to enjoy erotic entertainment. Now, I'm not remotely judgmental about that. And he drank alcohol, perhaps more than most. But then this was used against him as though this somehow means the most horrific tortures are permissible, because torture was absolutely standard by the Uzbek police and the Uzbek National Security Service. And this was not the milder end of the spectrum. These were the most horrifically sadistic tortures. And it wasn't once or twice. It was extremely widespread, holding political prisoners by the thousand. So it was massive scale state terror against human rights activists and so on. So it took enormous valor to stand up to that. Craig Murray, yes, he got to be applauded for his courage, but he at least had diplomatic immunity. Many, the Uzbeks had none. And they were going to be detained in these dark and fetid dungeons of the Karimov tyranny for decades, their family tortured. One of the favorite tactics he reveals is the Uzbek security services to get people's children and threaten to rape someone's child in front of him or her if she or her didn't inform or sign a false confession. And that's what the Labour government was facilitating, was expediting this. Tony Blair is all into child protection and, you know, those in position of trust can't have any intimate relationship with their students or whatever, under 18 and things like that. And page three is evil, didn't actually outlaw it. But at the same time, connivance with paedophilic rape. I mean, the immorality of the evil is just nauseating. Now, admittedly, had there been a conservative government in office, they probably would have done the same. And this is the tough choice. I mean, a lot of the information came from torture. Murray says it's disinformation. Probably some of it was. The CIA was lapping it up. And of course, Karimov, they tortured dissidents into saying, yes, we're terrorists. Yes, we're Al-Qaeda, even when they were totally secular. Liberals, conservatives, socialists, anybody, any Muslim who was a little bit too observant risked being kidnapped and tortured by the SNB. That was his secret police. So now he died in 2016. So Shavkat Mirziyoyev is president, and he has reformed a bit. But he was prime minister under Karimov. All the crimes that Karimov committed, Mirziyoyev is also guilty. And it's true that he's not quite so horrendously violent, possibly because he recognizes it's bad for the country's investment prospects. But that we're so lucky, we're so to be free. Anyway, it's a very unedifying tale of Craig Murray having his arm twisted, of lies, of him being blackguarded, of people disseminating malicious rumors to try and trash his reputation because they didn't want him fearlessly speaking up for human rights, which the government had told him to do, locking him out of his own embassy, creating spurious health accusations against him. He thinks spied on by MI5, very likely. He had this Uzbek mistress, but he must have been tailed by the SNB. I mean, I've been places like Azerbaijan. Even I think I might have had some contact from Azerbaijani intelligence, even though I'm a nobody. I've got no illusions about myself. I'm totally not important. But because they've got a massive spying apparatus, they spy virtually everyone. They're very obviously suspicious of Western foreigners. So he would have been tailed all the time. And they presumably knew about his mistress. A bit surprised they didn't kidnap her, use her as a hostage. So that's it. He's back here. Now, he's a bit pro-Putin these days, sadly. He's a Scottish separatist. I don't completely agree with him. I bumped into him in Edinburgh just before the first COVID lockdown, outside the trial of Alex Salmond, of whom he was a vociferous supporter. So that's it. Murder in Samarkand. A little bit uplifting, dispiriting. Evil so often wins. It makes me call to mind what Oscar Wilde said about heroic fiction. The good are good and victorious. The evil are evil and are vanquished. And that's what makes it heroic. And that's what makes it fiction. So the liars, the sycophants, they're the ones who get ahead, who get promoted in the United Kingdom, as well as Uzbekistan. So in some places, a very dispiriting tale about how evil is lavishly rewarded, and good is so often savagely punished. What kind of a sick world do we live in? Right, thank you for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate on PayPal, and buy a copy of Murder in Samarkand. Goodbye.